In the dark, I fed my dream.
Welcome to episode 410 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Good to be here with y'all this Sunday. Man, I don't recall the last time we ever did a broadcast on Sunday, but here we are. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st in Harmony, North Carolina. And hey, if you don't want to be there, you can be there online. We got tickets for both. And nobody beats our prices. And nobody's going to beat the festival we're putting on. Anyway, TPC will get you 5% off. Okay, Wave Watch. You see what I'm wearing here? I got the old version. William's got the new one on. Okay, I got the square one. Looks like I'm calling in artillery or something out of Star Trek. Well, let me tell you why I got it on. Because as soon as I'm done with this podcast and I say hi to my little grandbaby afterwards, I'm going to run over there into the sauna and I'm going to put this thing on the detox setting. Now, they got a bunch of different settings on here, 1,000 of them. I'm going to put it on the detox setting and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get a bunch of stuff out of me. You know, the garbage that's falling from the sky. If you want one of those, Billy 100 will get you $100 off.
Off the Wave Watch, not the sauna. The Wave Watch.
No, not the sauna. No, I don't have a deal with those guys. But I'm in the middle of testing this thing out to make sure I do like it. I bought it, and man, I'll tell you, of all the healing modalities we do around here, man, Dr. Ely was right. I thought saunas for the longest time was just a trendy kind of thing. I never really was crazy about them. And then when I found out all the health benefits and I saw the change in me, I'm like, oh my goodness, especially when you're doing a detox program, which I'm in the middle of right now. Man, I'm just floored, absolutely floored at what that thing absolutely does for you. So it's an infrared sauna. And if it works out, I'll tell you all about it. But I don't tell you about anything that I'm not really crazy about. So anyway, maybe I'll let you know in the future. Right now, it's just going to have to stay on the shelf. I want to thank everybody for checking us out. Man, there's a Super Bowl going on. We got a bunch of people in the house. If you would, hit that thumbs up so they can tell everybody out there we are live. Well, son, before I get into it, I'll just jump right into it. So farm news, what we got going on around here, your mom's working out which seeds we have going. We're a little bit jealous about what you guys are able to do out there. So we got seeds. She's trying to pick them out, and we are absolutely growing, just like all of you can do. We're growing for flavor, not necessarily what looks good on the shelf. We grow for flavor and nutrition, and everything else can, you know. So the good thing about the food you grow at home, folks, just keep this in mind. Just remember, no matter what you do, this stuff is not going to keep as long as stuff in the grocery store. So just get your head around that already, because when you do, you realize that, oh, shoot, this type of tomato, I only got about a week. I better eat this thing up or do something with it. Just keep that in mind. So you might want to think about that Harvest Ripe freeze dryer, which we also got that in the description box down below. But anyway, she's working on seeds. Man, I can't even read my own writing here. Oh, using more wood than I ever thought I needed. Good night, man. I'm going through this stuff like it's going out of style because the crazy weather, like Dane Wigington talked about, it is absolutely, folks, it was colder in Florida than it was in Iceland. And this is normal weather. Colder in Florida than it was in Iceland, the whole country practically. If anybody out there has blue skies today, please let me know. Because I went and Googled, Google is not a verb, but I just used it as one. I researched the sunniest cities in America, son. Yeah. And I'm talking number one, there's not even a close second, is Yuma, Arizona. And then go down the list. Folks, you can do this yourself. go to some search engine, put in the sunniest cities in America, and then go look at the forecast for them. There's not a one of them that isn't covered up. Not one. Not one. 310 sunny days out of the year. I remember we used to live near Pueblo, Colorado. Strangely enough, the sex change capital of the world. Yeah. Anyway, we used to live there when I was stationed at Fort Carson. And yeah, go look at their forecast. Look at every sunny city in America and look at the forecast. Everybody's covered up. Like I said, we got Florida that was colder than Iceland. Explain that one. But nothing to see here, y'all. So anyway, other things going on. Look, y'all, we're about a month and a couple of weeks away from, you know, winter being over, and we're still raising our sheep on stockpiled forage. So it can be done. And folks, the ones you want to go check that out. I mean, Greg Judy, if you want to see a YouTube version of it, if you want to read about it and also go to Stockman Grass Farmer, it's a magazine. You can also get the class that Jim Garish does. He wrote Kick the Hay Habit. So go check that out as well. Anyway, these guys are still on stockpiled forage. And folks, if you can crack that nut, it ain't difficult to do. You're just going to have to lower your stocking density at least part of the year. And then if you do this right, number one, you're going to save a pile of money on hay. You're still going to have days where you got to feed hay. No getting around that. But you're not going to be reliant on it. So you got to learn some stuff about stocking density. You got to learn stuff about grazing. Look, these times, I mean, look in the grocery store, man. It's only getting worse. All right, so other things we got going on out here. I was on the, folks, I'll tell you what, man. It takes a lot to blow me away. I was on a phone call the other day with two doctors. One was a naturopath. The other is a PhD MD. And I'm talking to both of them. And I got to say, my mind was absolutely blown. In fact, nobody's ever really heard of these guys. And I had them testing my water, you know, water I knew that was great and water that I knew was marginal. And they were doing it remotely. I mean, using the same methods that Dr. Will uses. So for all the people out there saying, well, I don't know if this stuff works, man. I'm telling you, I see it over and over and over again. You got to stop believing that the technology that they present you is the best they have. It's like Jesse Ventura said, and it really kind of sums it all up with this statement. Do you really think the combustion engine has not improved over the last 100 years? Do you really think they didn't have a carburetor back in the 60s that ran on water, or one that ran 300, 400 miles to the gallon? You think they don't already have that? Yeah, they do. They've had it for the longest time. It just never sees the light of day. You're telling me the best we can get roughly is 30 miles per gallon over the last 50 years? Really? Come on. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to our tech and our science out there. There are people out there doing things that strain credulity. And the only reason is because most of us have not even heard that there is another way of doing it. So anyway, you know, while we're here, after William kind of tells you what's going on his end, I want to kind of circle back to what we talked about just briefly with Dr. Will before we get into it. So go ahead, son.
Yeah, today, just like I believe Dana was mentioning that she got in a bunch of plants in the garden in East Texas. I did too. I got beets, radishes, and some lettuce and spinach in the garden. She also said that she got tomatoes and peppers in there as well. You might want to be careful about that because this part of Texas is notorious for having a late, like a mid-spring, like cold snap or frost or something like that. But yeah, so yesterday I put out a video. It was a Q&A, and it was also like a heads up saying, hey, we're going to do this live stream today. And the reason for the heads up is that it's not our usual days for doing the live stream. And I started the video off by saying, you should come watch this live stream instead of watching the Super Bowl. And a little PSA, if you're a grown man and you're watching other grown men play a game with the ball, that is gay. People got mad in the comments. They snitched on themselves. They snitched on themselves. Instead of pretending that they didn't play, they're not watching the Super Bowl, they all just kind of started snitching on themselves. There was another guy that mentioned, like, well, if that's gay, then how gay is it to watch another man with a man bun on his knees planting a garden? And I was like, I don't know. You tell me. You're the one that watched. Man, people lost their minds over that. But other than that, just I'm getting a whole bunch of videos. And there were also a lot of people in the comments that were like, finally,
somebody is like saying what I've been thinking for the longest time. And it's not like this is your bread in circuses, but it's even worse than what the Romans had. At least the Romans, their bread wasn't toxic, and at least their circuses weren't rigged. And if they were rigged, then you knew it going into it because it was like a reenactment of some sort of historic battle in the Colosseum. Vastly different than the Roman bread and circuses. It's even worse, and people are highly defensive of the of their circuses, especially their favorite football team and stuff like that. But yeah, I got a good long laugh out of the responses from last night. But other than that, I'm getting a couple of interesting videos, or I think they're interesting. I think other people will find them interesting as well. Interesting videos squared away over at the demonstration site. I'm doing a side-by-side. At one is I'm going to be showing people how to apply compost extract on a larger scale, other than just like doing a bucket and then putting in your watering pail and then spreading it around that way. I think you've done videos similar to that as well. And then another one is going to be a side-by-side soil biology test comparison between the silage tarping that a lot of people do for their garden versus, this takes the same amount of time, versus just doing a like a sheet mulch variation. It takes no extra time. It might take extra time in like gathering some materials for your mulch unless you buy them or something like that. But it took no extra time. In fact, with the wind, it was harder for me to get that plastic tarp down than it was for me to get the cardboard paper down and then the mulch down and everything. And then also, I think I might do a video, just because we don't have 100% overlap on viewers, I think I might do a video as well on how to sequester some of these toxins that just got sprayed on us, like the Crusader 1099 just said, I'll take the ergot. Yeah. The ergot that they just dumped on us from the snow. I think I might go into it like a more in-depth video talking about a couple of ways where you can sequester some of these toxins or just completely destroy these toxins. But yeah, that's what's going on here.
Well, I think you should, son, because I'm not sure I'm going to have the bandwidth to be able to do those videos. So if you want to run with them, that's exactly what I want to, you kind of led into what I want to talk about is, first of all, that live stream we did with Dr. Will. Remember, Dr. Will, for all the folks that are wondering, he will be at the Sovereign Health Summit. Okay, I know a lot of people were blown away by what he said, and he's going to be at the Sovereign Health Summit. So you want to get some tickets there, man. We are bringing people together over there. Saw Mountain Readiness in the chat. So T and Amber over at Mountain Readiness, and along with us, we're putting this thing on, y'all, and we've snatched up the best you can find. People many of you have never even heard of. And they do fantastic needle moving kind of work. So if you want to get some of this stuff, you want to talk to these people straight up, they will be there. So yeah, Go check that out. But anyway, William kind of brought up something that I wanted to get into. So that live stream we did with Dr. Will, folks, if anybody's wondering how suppressed we are, son, I looked it up. I went and looked it up. Like, what does the average video that has 1,500 comments on it, what does it get in terms of viewership? And it was anywhere between, you know, I don't know.
At least 100,000.
It was anywhere between 80,000 to, you know, 300,000. Well, the video we did, Dr. Will, I think they cut it off at like 38. It just stopped. Not one more person watched or commented. They stopped at 38. You have 38,000 and you have 1,500 comments. Folks, you got a hot video that people want to see, but they can't. The powers that shouldn't be don't want you or anybody else knowing about this information. So naturally they put the brakes on it. So like I said, you want to be at that Sovereign Health Summit, folks, if you want to talk to some of these experts that we're going to have there. Anyway,
hey, just to put a stamp on that, Dad, real quick. Like if you went up to somebody who does like YouTube create, like if they create content on YouTube and you told them how many comments you got on a video, they would be able to tell you roughly how many views that video got just based on the comments. Like there's some like standard statistics that apply to like YouTube creators. Like usually, like on average, if you have like 100,000 like subscribers, on average you're going to get about 10,000 views per video. That's just how it works. Same thing with the comments. Usually if you have x amount of comments, you're going to have x amount of views on that video on average.
Well, they shut that thing down because they don't, and folks, the only way this information gets out there is A, if you do it, or B, you pass it around. But let's go back to the you do it part. So there were a number of people that wrote comments in there saying, hey, I can't afford this stuff. And I get it, man. I mean, I totally get it. So that's exactly, and I don't know how many people missed this, but we did discuss the fact that you can make biocomplete compost. You can make it yourself and still get to that finish line, or you can cut the line and use soil saviors. Now, I do both. I do both because he has things in there that I don't necessarily have. So I can put that in my pile. But also, William and I have covered, I don't know how many videos talking about the ways in which you can make this compost, this biocomplete compost. I even have a step-by-step tutorial for as little as a dollar, and people were complaining about that. I mean, you go out there and spend thousands of dollars of your own money, which we have, just to get certified under Dr. Elaine Ingham. I mean, I think we've spent so far close to $20,000 of our own money. Money we didn't have to spend, and we're giving the information away for free. So it's a little bit annoying when people are out there saying, well, you know, you're just out there to make a buck. I'd be charging more than a dollar if I wanted to. And in fact, we probably ought to do a webinar starting from start to finish on exactly how to do this. Because folks, some of these things that we're putting in these piles and some of the methods we're doing, strangely enough, YouTube will not allow. Certainly not with the way I make it these days. So we have to put it behind a paywall and hide it. Otherwise, they're going to go in there and take it down. And a lot of the information we've already put out there is free. So this is a combination of, I don't know how many different teachers. Son, anything you want to add to that? You can make your own, folks.
Yeah, you can totally make your own compost. But when it comes to the soil saviors aspect, I know it is, for some of us, like, things are tight. It's tight for everybody. And I understand that it is quite an investment, and the clock is kind of ticking as far as like the toxins go. But you need very, very little of the soil saviors. All you need to do is enough to inoculate one compost pile. Like if thinking of that, let's say like a soil saviors box is, let's just round out the numbers, $500 for the 1 to 5 acre box. It's not $500. It's way cheaper than $500, but just for round numbers. And you teamed up with five other people and you said, all right, we're all going to go in and we're going to all buy this box. And then we're all going to split up we'll all get an acre's worth of ingredients on that box. You can totally do that. And that's still going to be way more than you need in order to inoculate a compost pile. So like, I understand it's expensive, but this is where community comes into play. Like, this is where you can kind of team up with your local community or anybody else that you might know. Or here, there's a community in the chat right now. If you guys were to get together, you guys are all, like, we all have this in common. We all have permaculture in common. If you guys were to get together here in the comments right here and try to team up with somebody to go in on a box together, then do that. Or let's say there's one person who has no problem buying that box, and you were going to buy just a little bit of the ingredients from that box. You could probably go that route as well. But yeah, making your own compost. There are so many different ways. We've shown how to make your own compost. I've showed you how to do it with two ingredients, which isn't going to be the best, but it still is far better than anything you can buy in the store. I've shown you how to do it with three ingredients. Dad's shown you how to do it with like the foolproof 30 bucket method. I've shown you how to do it if you don't have 30 buckets and you only have 10 buckets. Like, there are so many correct. There's the Johnson Soup bioreactor method that what's his name? Jack Spirko has like broken it down, and even like smaller, I think he did like smaller piles as well with the Johnson Soup bioreactor. Like, there are so many different routes to go. Because there have been people that commented like, hey, I'm like not able to flip a whole cubic yard of compost. Go with the Johnson Soup bioreactor route. That, all you have to do is assemble it. I think you may flip it once. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't done it. That's one thing I need to do.
No, you leave it for a whole year and you just kind of let it sit. It's highly fungal dominant. That's exactly what you're looking for. Yep. And there's a way to do this. I mean, like the chicken tractor on steroids, that's another way of doing it. There's a way to do all this stuff. Mary in Texas, thank you for the $50 super chat. Thank you for your efforts to help us all.
Thank you so much
for helping us. If you break bread, I won't fake dead. And then on that point, Steve Hyatt is saying, can biochar be inoculated? Well, if you want. Well, son, why don't I throw that over to you? Yes, you can and you should, but how would they do it?
Well, yeah, you should always, just a quick little PSA real quick. The biochar should always be inoculated. There's a lot of people who make the mistake of making biochar and then directly applying it to your garden. And it's going to have negative effects for quite some time if you do it that route, because it's robbing all of your organisms. So you should always like inoculate biochar before applying it to any kind of growing system. You can inoculate it with soil savers. So let's say you get a bucket made of soil savers. You can dump your biochar in there. Let's wait till the bubbles stop, and then you know your biochar has been inoculated, like it soaked up that soil savers. Biochar can hold up to 10 times its weight in like moisture and water. So it can hold on to a lot of organisms. Now, the benefit of biochar isn't the nutrient content. It's none of that. It's the fact that it gives a home to the microbes, like an extended like stay home for the microbes that the microbes can also eat. So if you're in sandy soils, like biochar is mandatory because the sand allows to, like, the drainage in sand is too quick, not allowing the organisms to glue themselves to the sand. So like that's where you need biochar, so they can glue themselves to the biochar itself, or the biochar is inoculated with it, and then they can start making aggregates there. But yeah, you can also put biochar directly in your compost and then just allow it to inoculate that way. You can inoculate it with compost extract. There's a bunch of different ways to inoculate biochar. I remember looking it up a while back on YouTube. I didn't see one correct way of doing it on YouTube, but there are a bunch of other ways to inoculate biochar to inoculate biochar. I might do a video on just inoculating biochar just to show everybody.
Or if you just have a handful of some really good compost from somebody else that you know is really, really good, you can make an extract out of it and then, you know, inoculate it that way. There's a bunch of different ways you can go about doing that. Okay, so
Also, real quick, if you can't make biochar, you can also just buy lump charcoal with no additives from the store, and then you can treat that as biochar as well. It's not completely the same product, but it's going to serve the same function. So there's that.
Be really careful. I mean, I wouldn't be getting any Kingsford or anything like that. Like, it just, the only ingredient should be wood. I mean, make sure there's nothing else if you're going to go about it that way. All right, EMF rocks, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Man, I got mine down by my feet right now. I take mine and I put it on my grounding mat so I can, A, charge the EMF rocks. And I got my little one that William's holding up right now. I got it in my pocket. So anyway, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And if you want some of these ball and glasses that we got right here, these blue blocking glasses, everybody's always wondering, why do we wear them? Probably ought to do an entire show on that. I have to bring in somebody to talk about that. But anyway, bond charge, 15% with promo code PERMA. Yeah, the reason why I wear these red ones, you got an amber color for like midday, or red ones, which are knocking out that blue light that are, well, that's coming off the screen. Michelle didn't change it over to where it's like totally safe. So, and I don't know what you're doing, but it's making a lot of noise in the mic.
Sorry. I was grabbing the daylight glasses.
Yeah, so these... So anyway, these glasses block all the blue light. Look, folks, in nature, the only time you get blue light in nature is midday, okay? But all the devices that they intentionally gave blue light to, they do it on purpose. The computers, the phones, all of it. Unless you change it over, I guarantee you are being bombarded with blue light at times of the day when your body shouldn't. So that blue light is telling your body, go, 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 especially through your eyes, which is the most dangerous place. And they've known this forever and a day. That's why they got rid of the incandescent light bulb. Folks, I really ought to do an entire show on this. But suffice it to say for now, the reason why we wear these red glasses, these blue light blockers, is precisely for that very reason. And folks, the deleterious effects on your health are legion. And the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know that. All right, so we're going to go to the good news. Right off the bat, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this, explosive Epstein emails claim Bill Gates caught STDs from Russian girls, sought antibiotics for Melinda. Yeah, that little slimy SOB. Does anybody else find it a little bit curious? He's wanting to dictate health policy in this country. And here he is giving his wife the heebie-jeebies that he got off of some Russian hookers or whatever the case was. I mean, I'm calling this good news. So everybody's naturally saying, son, I'm sure they're thinking, well, poor Melinda, nothing. Let me tell you what. She was totally in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Do you know how many people that woman knowingly sterilized through that foundation? Do you know how many people that she's probably, I mean, she's as slimy as the rest of them. So, yeah, she can go ahead and play all. Oh, I had no clue. Yeah, you knew he was a slimy SOB from the word go, and you are too. So I'm glad to a certain extent both of you got the gift that keeps on giving, if you know what I mean. Any comment on that, son?
Man, I mean, it does seem, one thing that does stand out that does seem odd is, like, he's supposedly like the richest man in the world, but he has to go through Epstein to get antibiotics. That part stood out to me as being a little odd. I don't know. And there's so much like code language that's being used in these emails as well. It may have been referring to something else. Like I don't know what you have on the good news or the news section. And I don't know what you necessarily want to get into as far as the Epstein stuff, but there was one like code word that's being thrown around in the emails called jerky. And it ain't jerky. It's very clearly, just given the context around that word in these emails, clearly ain't jerky. I don't know if you wanted to get into that at all, but
well, we'll cover it here in a little while. I'm just going to kind of, let me blast through this good news stuff. All right, so here's the next one. Dietary fiber, why you shouldn't miss out on some of the digestive superhero. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. This is one of those things I learned from Barbara O'Neill, which, by the way, is going to be at the Sovereign Health Summit. She's going to be there speaking two or three times a day. Another reason you don't want to miss her. And I find out that most people that claim they follow Barbara's protocol, they only follow the convenient parts. They forget about those little things that are a little less convenient to most people. So let me just point that out. But anyway, I discovered the importance of fiber, and particularly beans, through Barbara and what they do. I mean, you need insoluble fiber in your gut to help the good guys that are in your gut. So you want to make sure you get, if you're going to eat them, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it, but you know, it could be, you know, the skin on an apple. It could be beans. It could be any number of things. But everybody's thinking, well, just eat kimchi or sauerkraut and stuff like that. Well, that's not enough. You really need to make sure you're getting enough fiber. And that's where I think Barbara's, well, in so many ways, Barbara's hitting it out of the woodwork.
Well, real quick on the Barbara O'Neill thing, another reason I think a lot of people are like not following some of the more difficult information is that that's what's like when she was popular during COVID, like when her stuff was going all over TikTok and Instagram and things like that, it was only the easy stuff that got clipped and then pushed and then became popular. So like a lot of people think like that's the beginning and end of the information that she's giving is like, oh, make this little remedy from this herb and then you're good to go. And then there's nothing else you need to do. So I think like this short form content that everybody's addicted to is kind of another reason that people aren't doing, the full protocol with these things.
Well, you may have something there. I mean, you may very well be onto something. All right. Last good news story. And without a doubt, my favorite. Okay. Representative Thomas Massie, man, love that guy. At least so far, unless we end up finding out he was on Epstein Island, which I mean, at this point, man, you got to wonder anything. We get 535 people in Congress and only one honest one. Seriously? So here's what he said he was going to do. Man, this is hot off the presses. He said he's going to get up. He said, if they do not unredact the names of all the perpetrators that are in those files, which they were supposed to do by redacting the stuff they did, except for the victims, they're violating the law, okay? He said he's going to stand up in Congress and he's going to read the names. He said if the victims want him to, he's going to stand up in Congress and he's going to read all the stuff that they redacted, because as a congressman, he's allowed to see the unredacted stuff. And so are the other 534 people in the Congress. But not one of them is standing up, not one, except for Thomas Massie. Well, yeah, this is what I'm calling good news, but man, we need to be praying for this guy big time, y'all, because he has taken stance. I suspect that they probably, took his wife out. Yeah, I suspect that probably happened. And then, Yeah, I'm aware of her condition prior, but you know, a lot of things kind of came together all at that same time. And he is the kind of guy that will absolutely do it. But what do you think the powers that shouldn't be will do to prevent him from being able to do that? I mean, there were people out there that were blowing the whistle in a big way. People like James Traficant and a number of others. And all of a sudden, they come up dead. And that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen to Thomas Massie. There's a whole lot of light on him right now. And all the bots and everybody in the administration is going out of their way to try to dog this guy. But you know what? It's going to get, he says, look, I'm giving you an opportunity, Justice Department. I'm giving you an opportunity to do what's right and unredact the names of the people that are accused in this thing. Either you do that or I'm going to stand up right there on the House floor and I'm going to read them. So how about that? So I love that. If there was good news, I mean, good night, man. Where are all the heroes in this country? Thomas Massie in my book is one of them, at least so far. All right. With that said, we're going to go right to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, priorities. I find it increasingly frustrating what topics get people to show up. The more critical the topic, the less people seem to be interested. Maybe I'm a weirdo and place more importance on subjects that others don't prioritize, but information that could be used to save your life and your home seem like they should be important to everyone. Obviously, there are many factors involved in why people show up to one meeting over another, so this comparison is not really apples to apples, but I think it speaks to the larger issue. I'm a member of a local gardening group, and they had over 40 people show up to hear a woman talk about bats. Our last meeting for the permaculture group had about 15 show up to learn about wildfire resilient design and toxic runoff mitigation. Look, I love bats. Bats are great. They do an amazing job controlling pests, and I'm happy that many people showed up to hear about bats. But come summertime, knowing about bats isn't going to keep your house from burning down. The wildfires are only getting worse in California, and there is still time to implement strategies before summer that could save your property. The speaker we had was Matthew Trum, a good friend and fellow permaculture designer who has done amazing work with mitigating and remediating toxic runoff from the recent catastrophic wildfires in California. He was the featured guest on the most recent Discover Permaculture podcast and has an amazing course on wildfire resilient, packed with life-saving information and incredible guest speakers. To find out more information, go to treetoppermaculture.org.
Okay. Usually Eric has a little bit more of a tagline in there, but yeah, he's right about priorities. I find it curious that so many people are so willing to, you know, Billy, I can't do anything about them dropping that crap from the sky. Well, you can't do anything about who's going to play in this football, this rigged football game today. You can't do anything about that, but you know all the stats. Yeah. So it comes down to what's important to you. All right, y'all, Micronic Silver, not the Snoop Dogg album, but the product. Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I've been using this stuff lately every day. That nose spray, like T at Mountain Readiness said, and I agree with him, that it's probably the only silver product that I've ever really seen the needle move at all. So anyway, I definitely back what they're doing. I'm using their toothpaste right now. And Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, so let's just get into this. And I kind of teased it a moment ago, a little bit prematurely, I might add, that here we are. Do you ever wonder why they call it NFL entertainment? Anybody ever wonder that? It's because all the games are rigged. Most of them are absolutely positively rigged. There are entire YouTube channels dedicated to showing you just how rigged it is. It's no different than professional wrestling. But everybody, for the most part, in this country is watching that garbage right now. Even though they got some trans testicle that's performing the halftime show, some trans testicle polar bear. Man, I should have told the brother. I should have wore that shirt if I'd known I'd be talking about this. But anyway, anything but the Super Bowl, folks. Reason why I was really, we had a bunch of interviews this last week, and one of them. And by the way, the reason we had to take down the one with, before I get into this, We had to take down the previous one because almost certainly Zen Honeycutt from Moms Across America. You can see that still on the Permapastures.
The Permaculture Pimpcast.
Permaculture Pimpcast YouTube channel. Say that 10 times. And our regular Rumble channel. We had to take it down because she said a couple of things that would almost certainly get us taken off. So they didn't take us down. We had to take us down before they gave me my last strike. You dig? So that's and if anybody hasn't listened to that, you want to, because she's talking about all the stuff that soldiers are being fed and nobody cares. And it's complete garbage. Toxic garbage is what they're giving these guys. Inmates eat better than our soldiers. Anyway, back over to what I'm talking about. Anything but the Super Bowl. I was telling William beforehand, anybody want to venture a guess as to where most, the one event of the year where most child and even adult sex trafficking unfolds? It's the Super Bowl. Don't believe me? Go look it up. But I tried looking at it through some of the search engines out there and they won't give you an answer. Or what do you call those things, son, where you ask it a question and ChatGPT. Ask that one. Yeah, go ask it. But I know the stats. They've been talking about this for years. But here we are. We got a football game with a bunch of trannies performing a halftime show. We got all this stuff going on right now. And let me just talk about the things. And I made a list here. You don't believe me? I got it right here. Okay, and I'll wrinkle the pages right here for the people that are online. Sat here today thinking about the things that were just made known. That were called, quote, conspiracy theory for the last, let's say, 4 years. Okay, we've, thanks to people like Tucker Carlson, you know, got a love-hate relationship with the guy, but, you know, 9/11. Basically, through his reporting alone, and he's doing really a softball version of it, of other people that have done more hard-hitting stuff. 9/11, okay, it was an inside job. But let's still hate Muslims, even though it was an inside job. Look at I got a book on the shelf down there, Where Did the Towers Go, from Dr. Judy Wood. Go read that book and tell me if you still believe the official story of 9/11. Folks, I really think what we're experiencing right now is the consummate watershed moment. I really believe that. Meaning that if we get this wrong, that I think our country's doomed. Man, you're thinking, boy, that's a little bit deep. That's a little hyperbolic. No, I'm deadly serious. I really am. We just found out. We just discovered that we are a country of idiots. We're a country, by and large, of morons ruled by pedophiles at the highest levels. I mean, at the highest levels. And everybody just kind of yawned. In fact, William, your mom and I have been in this funk for the last, ever since this came out. It's not like we haven't known and talked about this stuff before, but here it is. You have confirmation, 100% confirmation of what we've long suspected. And what do you see out of the majority of the populace? Nothing more than a yawn. Like, you know, maybe they're sitting around the table watching, you know, TV news as they eat dinner. Oh, that's so awful. Honey, can you pass the potatoes? That's about, you know, how quick it came in and out of the consciousness of most of us. That's why I'm saying it's a watershed moment. You know, you can think of these watershed moments when it comes to big events out there, things like the Civil War, World War I, World War II, every major battle in every war. I mean, going way, way back, there's always these watershed moments where if it goes the wrong way, we're going to see a pretty awful output. And folks, right now, everybody, you even have this latest video I saw of Trump talk, some reporter asked about it, and there's some idiot back there laughing about the fact that these girls were raped, murdered, dismembered, what they've done to babies. Folks, I mean, I can't even repeat some of this stuff. It's so diabolical. But think about the other things that we found out. Okay, just off the top of my head, here it is, COVID-19 lab leak theory. It's no longer a theory, y'all. It didn't come from some bat soup over there in China, okay? Government surveillance. Well, it's beyond public knowledge, you know. We have people out there that were, you know, obviously everybody's heard of Edward Snowden. Julian Assange, you heard of him. But let me tell you, people that dwarfed those people that came out and that were blowing the whistle long before then. former number two at the NSA, William Binney, or goes by Bill Binney, J. Kirk Wiebe, and at least four others that I know of that were much higher, but you only ever heard about Snowden. You didn't hear about these people at the highest echelons. That's why they're building, why they built that giant data center in Bluffdale, Utah. It's not, it's to capture every single thing you do and not miss anything. Okay, here's another one. Operation Warp Speed, or should I say War on the Seed? Yeah, we now know the same guy who's now reelected, the same guy who put that out there is now once again saying, oh, this thing was, our military put it out there, it's the best thing since sliced bread. How many people does everybody in this audience know of somebody that took that thing and now has buyer's remorse? More than you can count. In fact, I got a friend who's going to a, you know, another turbo cancer. I mean, off the charts. Incredible. And then we see the fascism, you know, the biotech companies. Trump's, what is it, first week in office, gave $500 billion to wealthy oligarchs. And everybody said, this is 5D chess. What?
Yeah.
5D chess. $500 billion. How's everybody else's groceries bill out there looking? But we got money to give to oligarchs that are already wealthy? Huh. How about that? Here's a nasty one that kind of ties into some of the Epstein stuff, but you haven't heard about it by and large. How about the Hunter Biden laptop? What was on it? And worse yet, here's the one you haven't heard about, and most people haven't, the Anthony Weiner laptop. Good night. I was trying to look up exactly how many cops mysteriously died, New York City detectives, that are very, how do I say this? They are well inoculated at looking at awful things. The things they saw on that laptop that were being done to children had every last person that looked at that thing throwing up. And I think all but one of those detectives is now dead. And it ties into this whole Epstein thing. And of course there was that, I don't know how true it is, but that frazzle drip thing with Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin and what they supposedly did to some children. Folks, this is dark stuff. I don't want to talk about this thing, but this is what I'm going somewhere with it. Okay. Here's another thing. You've been told forever and a day, UFOs and UAPs or whatever they decide to call them was everybody's imagination. Well, now the government openly admitted that this is a real phenomenon. Now where they come from is a matter of debate. Some people are going to say it comes from, you know, Alpha Centauri or, you know, some other star system. I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what I believe. What matters, all of a sudden, now the government admits that it's real. You have Marco Rubio and a number of other polecats in a documentary that's on Amazon right now. Age of Disclosure. I went and rented it. It's you know, I wanted to hear what a bunch of pathological liars had to say about the phenomenon. But you better believe that's going to be one of the big ones that comes up. Here's the last one, and then I'll pass it over to William and get his thoughts on some of this stuff. The Tuskegee experiment in Alabama. For those that don't know, that went on, if memory serves, from 1932 to 1972. Let me just describe what that is, and I'll cover that here. I'll cover where I'm going with it. 1932, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. 40 years, 32 to 72. Your government, our government, knowingly knew that a bunch of black folks down in Tuskegee, and this is just one of many I could talk about, Operation Shad, where they knowingly shot up people in the Navy with nuclear radiation just to see what would happen. Bill Clinton later apologized for that. Folks, the list is long. I mean, I could fill volumes just from the top of my head. But I'm just going to talk about Tuskegee because it ties into what I'm about to say. From 32 to 40 or the 72, your government wanted to do long-term studies on with the effects of syphilis with it not being untreated. And they promised these poor black tenant farmers down there, hey, we'll give you all the health care you need. They knew they had syphilis and didn't treat them. Do you know how many families were destroyed because of that? You know how many lives were destroyed because of that? This is like Joseph Mengele kind of stuff. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, don't get me started on MK Ultra. And if you wonder why I care about this stuff, my mom was a recipient of MK Ultra when she was incarcerated, but that's another story altogether. Anyway, I talk about the Tuskegee experiment because people just realized that the very same thing was done in Guatemala to pregnant women in Guatemala. But in that case, they shot them up with syphilis, gonorrhea, and all the other STDs they could think of. Did the same exact thing. And even after they were busted and caught for what they did in Tuskegee, the Tuskegee experiment, even though they were busted and caught, they just moved it offshore. That's all they did. This is your government. And you think that they wouldn't think twice about giving you a poison vaccine? And you think they wouldn't think twice about dropping this garbage from the sky, which we, you know, we got the goods on them. We know exactly where it is. You don't think that? I don't even know what to say. I'm at a point right now where I know, I really feel in my bones that everything you see, and folks, this is just a short lift. This is just stuff, you know, that's just been revealed for the most part over the last several years. And what have we done about any of it? This stuff that they're dropping from the sky is falling on your kids, your pets, yourself, your grandkids, and still nobody cares. I mean, I've often said, and I hope I'm wrong, but at this point, I might have coined that phrase. I'm saying, you know, the only thing that can wake up a decadent population is the crucible of really hard times, which means starvation. Somebody, anybody, provide me a single time in history that a population became this willfully stupid and didn't pay for it dearly with starvation. And I'm talking over millennia. I can think of two times. One time, and it didn't last forever, was Nineveh. You know, that Jonah, the prophet Jonah, mm-hmm. went and talked to. They straightened up and they got their stuff together. They repented. Okay? The other example I can think of was right after the Roaring Twenties, and I'm not even sure this really qualifies, but I searched hard in my mental Rolodex to try to come up with another example. Only other example I can think of would be right after the Great Depression, or right before the Great Depression, you had the Roaring Twenties, chicken in every pot. America was becoming very decadent. What happened? You had the Great Depression, and a lot of people don't talk about it, but we lost anywhere between 8 to 10 million people to starvation at a time in America where 90% of the population lived rurally, 10% lived in the city. Those numbers are now flopped. Imagine we have another Great Depression in, you know, similarity, in similar means. What do you think those numbers will be then? At a time where a whole lot of people were still very much connected to the land. Folks, I'm saying all this not to just deliver a bunch of bad news, but yeah, this stuff in the Epstein file, it's making me sick. I mean, honestly, your mom and I, son, are just pulling our hair out, just been in this funk for days. Not because a bunch of psychopaths did what psychopaths do. It's because the overwhelming, deafening silence from the American people. 100 years ago, there would have been blood in the streets. They would have tarred and feathered these people. And right now, because Trump says, oh, we need to move on, nobody cares. So wealthy pedophiles are able to get away with this. They tell us, oh, we don't have any, you got Harold and Kumar over at the FBI, Bongino and Patel. And they're saying, oh, yeah, he killed himself. Oh, there was no evidence over there, even though Pam Bondi said they had videotapes of them doing some pretty awful things. And everybody's willing to turn the page. In the words of the great Jim Garrison, let justice be done, though the heavens fall. That's where I'm at on this. I don't care if it put us in a 100-year depression. The people that did this stuff, they need to be put in wood chippers. I don't know how. There's no other way I can put it. Or, you know what? We invest in a bunch of millstones. Throw them off the side of a ship. I mean, pick your poison. Folks, if we don't wake up and smell the corruption, we'll fall asleep drinking the hemlock. I say that all the time. And here we are at a time where imaginable things have been happening to kids. And the people with suit and ties out there, the ones that think they're our betters, are the ones doing it. We have absolute confirmation of all of it. And we're just going to, what? Nah. Just, you know, hand me the mashed potatoes. I mean, what is it? Son, I'll kick it on over to you.
Yeah, Dad, I think we're far past that watershed moment. I think we've already chosen to not react or not handle these problems. I think we're far past. I think we're far past the point of no return. I mean, there are people around me right now that are saying, and you've heard this statement before too, if you plant fruit, like a fruit tree next to your house, who's going to pick the fruit? Like that's their response to not like planting a fruit tree by the house. Or like, why grow a garden? Walmart is right down the road. Or why raise animals? Or why build a community? Like we're far past the point of no return. And I live in a rural area. It's not like I'm talking to a bunch of people in like skyscrapers or anything like that. Like I'm in a rural area. And then the most common response is like, well, what can we do about it? First thing you can do is stop participating. Like everybody who's participating in these bread and circuses, in these elections or anything like that, you're giving permission to it. You are voting for these things to happen or for like you're voting for these things not to happen. Like as long as you participate in this system, you're part of it. Like you're giving permission to it. We can no longer participate in these, but then you get the whole, like they use fear. People are fearing the wrong thing. There should only be one thing to fear, and that's the Father. That's the only thing you should fear. Everything else will get sorted out afterwards. And everybody's like, they use these fear tactics to control the population. Like, oh, if you don't get vaccinated, then you're going to, you know, your whole family's going to die from some incurable disease. If you don't participate in this election, then the bad guy's going to win, and then they're going to become president, and then the whole world is doomed. Like they just use constant fear tactics. The only point of like, I guess, comfort or solace that I can find in any of this is that scripture told us exactly that this exactly was going to happen before the kingdom came. That's the only kind of solace that I can find in any of this. Like, there's some apocryphal books that go into a little bit more detail, like 4 Ezra and 2 Baruch. Those are some awesome books. If you guys haven't checked those out, I would check those out. But they talk about like, yeah, things are going to get unimaginably bad everywhere before the kingdom comes.
Well, we're in the head of the snake right here. I mean, it's bottom line to me is, and a lot of people are pointing it out here. Igor says, yeah, everybody is too comfortable. Yeah, we are victims of comfort. Adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. And we got a whole lot of monsters running around here right now. And the only antidote that I know of throughout all of history that's ever corrected decadence is the crucible of really hard times. That's why you better go out there. You better be doing the things you need to do. And honestly, as you were going on, I was thinking about the end of Ecclesiastes, you know, this is Solomon kind of summing it up all at the end of it. He says, you know, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, these people think that they've gotten away with it. I mean, look at the stuff they said about George H.W. Bush, which I knew was an evil SOB from way back. Whole lot of information on that guy you don't know about. Presidents, popes, all these people are mixed up in this stuff. I mean, all of them. They are absolutely the most diabolical life forms ever to occupy space on this planet. And so far, they're getting away from it. And if they're getting away with it, folks, I'm just going to make a little prediction right now. I think that's why I'm constantly saying this is a watershed moment. If these people walk, or maybe they, you know, maybe they make one or two arrests of some low-level minion. That ain't going to kick it. If we don't see hundreds of arrests and people brought to justice for this stuff, this country's done. And it should be. It should be done. If there is no justice for children, then we deserve everything we do and don't get. That's, folks, I'm not trying to leave. I'm not trying to black pill or do whatever. For some reason, everybody wants to say, oh, I hate it when you get black pilled. It's not black pill. This is reality. I'm sorry. I understand a lot more about history than most people. I'm sorry. I understand exactly what happens to a decadent culture. I'm sorry. I understand that all of these things lead to a certain place. And this is why I'm on pins and needles right now thinking, okay, if you hear everybody in the administration just kind of dismissing this, some of the most awful things that you can, I mean, folks, you can't even imagine this. This is even worse than anything you would ever find in an H.P. Lovecraft novel. I mean, this is worse than anything I've ever even, these are things that I've known about through people like Russ Dizdar, God rest his soul. These are things that I've heard about from people like Russ Dizdar, but outside of him and a few others, this stuff never hits the streets. And like I said, 100 years ago, there would be people burning at the stake right now or hanging from nooses. Dead serious.
And real quick, Mary in Texas says, William, get out. That mindset is not conducive to survival. I do want to clarify something. That does not mean, everything that I said does not mean I won't fight like hell to against this tyranny and against this evil. That's not what I mean at all. Or enable as many people as possible to detach from this system. It's not like quitting by any means. It's just I've ran out of hopium. I've completely ran out of hopium. I'm not trying to convince anybody anymore. I'm just trying to enable as many people who are willing to see the truth as much as possible. Like there's reasons that I say things like I do on the YouTube channel, saying like the Super Bowl, if you're watching the Super Bowl, that's gay. It's to filter out the people. Like not everybody, the information that we put out isn't for everybody. It's for the people who want to take action, who want to actually like detach and separate themselves from this society, from this evil, from this tyranny, and stop participating. Again, okay, we're talking about the trafficking that goes on during the Super Bowl. There's also a satanic ritual that happens every halftime show and every single Super Bowl, and the only thing they need for extra power is for you to watch it. That is participation. The only thing they need for you to agree, like the only thing they need to pull the power from you for this ritual to be successful is for you to watch. You turned on the channel. That is giving permission. You turned it on. That is giving permission to this. Whenever you watch the inauguration for the president, you're sitting there and you're watching it. If you voted for it, you participated. If you're watching it, you're participating. If you're watching the Super Bowl, you're participating. If you're watching the Super Bowl halftime, you're participating. And that's exactly where they want you. That's exactly what they want you to be doing. And that's all they need you to do in order for their job to be done.
I'm glad you pointed that out, son, because even that witch, Marina Abramovic, that Jay-Z and all these other political elite, I mean, good night. Everybody's been around this woman in the political elite and in the music and film industry. And she's a Satanist. And she said almost word for word in her own way, exactly what you said there, that there's lesser kinds of magic. Performance art, if you will, is what they call it, which is what you would call a halftime show or whatever. And they gather your consent just by observing it. So just by not participating, folks, I mean, everybody's saying, well, you know, what do I do about it? Well, let's start with one. Number one, don't participate. I'm not giving one dime. The only sport I even watch, and it's very rare, is mixed martial arts. Why? Because you got two, it reminds me of a post I saw today on X. It was actually a number of women on X asking, where are all the men out there? Why are you not standing up and stopping this garbage that's happening with these kids? Why are you not standing up? One woman in particular, her name is Jessie Lynn. I think she lives up in Michigan. She does a lot in terms of bringing light on what's happening with the chemtrails up there and how they're just absolutely being covered up there. And she's saying, you know, where are all the men? Where are they? Well, I'll tell you where they are. A lot of them are, you know, they're probably half drunk right now watching a football game and participating in the lesser magic. Even the regular commercials out there. I mean, there's so many things embedded in this stuff. That's why I'm saying, folks, you got to find your way out of a lot of this stuff, because honestly, I just went down a list. I mean, I wrote it down so I would, you know, have it handy. But honestly, I could, if I sat here and thought about it, all the revelations that have been made known, still there's only yawns from the general American public. And folks, I'm telling you right now, this country is freaking doomed. Absolutely doomed. If we know now, before you could say, well, it was just a suspicion. We didn't have any clue. Well, the files have been released. What are you going to do now? And then that's not even all of them. That's not all of them. But what's in there is so far over the top. It is, I mean, it strains credulity. It really does. I'm thinking, you know, I've researched this stuff for years and years and years, and even I can't even, I mean, I've heard about this stuff. It's one thing to hear it from Russ Dizdar. It's entirely another when you have absolute 100% confirmation, absolutely 100% confirmation that this stuff is happening. And still, if all we get out of the American public is yawns, folks, get your house in order. Because I'm telling you, this country ain't going to be around much longer. I am deadly, deadly serious. So I guess, man, how do you leave this thing on a positive note?
There's solutions. Yeah. There's solutions.
Well, the solutions, obviously, first, you better make sure your soul is on point. Because with what they're doing right now, they got ships over there. I'm surprised we didn't already bomb Iran. What have they done to us? Absolutely nothing. But we're looking to be the next bully over there, I guess, as well. I don't know what's going to happen in all that. Maybe they'll wait till after the Super Bowl. Who even knows? But at the end of the day, the powers that shouldn't be need to change the topic. And if too many people start even noticing, believe me, they will change it in a way that will dwarf 9/11. Which, by the way, if you don't know, was an inside job. So I think everybody in this crowd kind of knows. Anything else you want to add, son?
Just, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Remember, if you put your head in the sand, them cheeks are in the air, and you keep that area protected. Like, it's, you can't hide from this. You can't act as if this isn't going on. Like, you can't be escaping via this football game or anything like that. And it pisses me off that Zen Honeycutt had to create that Moms Against, or that, what was it again?
Moms Across America.
Moms Across America. The fact that the moms had to stand up and do something pisses me off. Where's the men? Where's the husbands? Where are the husbands that are out there protecting their family? Like, I understand that men can join the group and everything, but why did it get to the point where the women where the moms had to start taking care of this? This is the man's job. This is the man's role to protect their family. And instead, the moms are having to, in her own words, the politicians are fearful of the moms. Where's the men? Where are they? What are they doing?
Right. That's right. Right. The kind of men that said, okay, if you harm my kid, there is nothing. Remember that Liam Neeson movie where he said, I probably can't repeat it here, but everybody saw The Taken. And what he said to that old boy on the phone, that's how anybody with any kind of testosterone still left. That's the attitude he will take when it comes to his family. So, folks, I'm just saying, you know, it may not shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, you wind up dead. And when they're dropping it from the sky, I can't escape that. I can't escape that. Neither can you. So whether it's these Epstein files or the crap they're dropping from the sky, folks, you better stand up and start whipping some butt. Because if you don't, the clock's ticking. Like I started out in this show, I looked, take the top 10 or top 5, whatever, go out there, do a search. Sunniest places in America, all of them are covered up. How's that possible? Look at their long-term forecast. Same thing. Crazy. Folks, we live in really, really awful times. And this is a big reason why I wanted to do this show. Number one, to offset the evil that's going on elsewhere. But at the same time, to make everybody realize, because we were doing interviews and they were important. And by the way, we'll have an interview tomorrow night. Ain't no way this one's going to be able to go on YouTube. So it's going to have to be on Rumble. It's going to be with Nessa, Anessa from Nessa's Hemp. And she's going to drop some serious, serious stuff out there that you probably don't know about. So you'll have to probably catch that on Rumble or on the Permapastures Farm or the The Pimpcast.
Pimpcast.
And I can't even keep up to them all. All right. All right, y'all. This is it's been a wild night. Actually took quite a bit out of me just even talking about this stuff. And I hate it. I hate it. I got to do it because it's I am a man. And my name, William, means Wilhelm. It means a protector. Okay. It's not just me. It's I don't know these babies out there that this stuff happened to, but it doesn't hurt any less. It doesn't hurt any less to know that this is happening to the most vulnerable. And the fact that we are sitting here in our compliance through silence is it's beyond imagining. I don't know where we are right now, but folks, we are definitely at that watershed moment. All right. Well, hopefully some of this was a blessing to you, y'all. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
The Maurice rings with roots that run deep. Wisdom from sawing, climb across the stream. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's truth, truth, truth. Who's got the answers? All we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the shame. What the world's been. From the smallness sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.